Truth without love is harsh and it's arrogant and it's divisive. So, sure, we can go on social media, we can march around and we can share all kinds of truth. But if it does not have love, we know what Paul says. It's like a clanging gong, it's like a cacophonous noise in someone else's head. It does not compute, it does not satisfy, it does not bring love, it does not bring any change.
Welcome to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Nilsson, speaker, author, and yes, life coach. This is the place where you will get to anchor your identity in Jesus. Learn how to hear the voice of God and get aligned with His will for your life and get activated into your next bold step of faith. Let's get going.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I want to let you know that today's episode is a little bit different. It was originally a broadcast live on my social media feeds, Facebook and Instagram, but I knew it was a conversation that was rich and I want to share it here with you too. In this episode, we are going to dive into the idea of charitable orthodoxy. Yes, that is a big theological term, and stick with me. What it means is to hold firm to the core truths of our faith. In grace and truth, extending grace and truth to those around us. And my big question today on the show is, are we ready to receive that as well? So you will hear about the grace and truth matrix from Gravity Leadership. Very cool, very, very cool, and very practical. So you're going to want to stick around for that. And it will give you a practical framework for how we show up in conversations. Are we calling out, checking out, hanging out, or calling in? Very, very cool. And I'll leave you with some reflection questions you can take away to pray and journal this week. And I want to let you know that I am working on something so cool, the Grace and Truth devotional sequence. So if you go to graceandtruthdevotional.com, you can receive 30 quick devotionals to bring you deeper into a space of grace and truth. I'm super excited about it. But anyway, without further ado, let's jump in and enjoy the show. Let me know what you think. Today, I want to talk about something called charitable orthodoxy. Did I lose you already? Let me give you a little bit of background. Yes, I'm a podcaster. I'm a life coach, a writer, and currently a seminary student at Denver Seminary. So shout out to Denver Seminary and my women's leadership cohort sisters. And one of the things that drew me to this school when I signed up, number one was, first of all, the women's leadership cohort. I was like, all women that are incredible and doing awesome things and smart and open and curious, sign me up. The second thing is something that Denver Seminary calls charitable orthodoxy. And the reason that this phrase is coming into my mind is because I think this is so important for the day and age in which we live. I mean, it's always been important, let's be honest, but I think any of you who are living on this world and not under a rock, or even if you are under a rock, you know that tensions in a lot of ways feel like they haven't been higher. I think that's not true. Actually, I'm married to an eighth grade social studies teacher, and I think tensions have always been high when you look at history. But we are living in a moment in time where communication is at an all-time high. So I think one could argue that the rate at which we communicate, the rate at which we receive information is at an all-time high, and it's never been this fast and furious in the history of the world. I think that is true. So correct me if I'm wrong. I was going to prepare something for my podcast specifically, so this will air on the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast probably in a couple of weeks. And as I was preparing for it, I really had this self-reflective moment and this moment with the Lord of saying, okay, is this something that I should share on the podcast? And just, you know, one thing about writing or podcasting, quite frankly, is you can share your thoughts. If you're writing, you can write your book and you can give it to somebody and be like, here you go, read it, like it, don't like it, agree with it, disagree with it. Doesn't matter. You're going to be in your house. I'm going to be in mine. Think what you want. It doesn't really affect me, right? Same with podcasting. I can create a podcast. I can put it out into the world. You can decide. You can watch it. You can listen to it, whatever. But there's something about social media that feels more vulnerable. Going live right now feels extremely vulnerable, really at any point. So if any of you have ever gone live on your social media, you're going to be like, yeah, it does feel vulnerable to put yourself out there in that way. And today I think feels even just particularly tricky because I am, first of all, I'm an Enneagram 9. So if any of you are familiar with the Enneagram, shout out to you, Jen Jacobson. You know that nines are not super comfortable with conflict. So I would much rather the motivation of the nine is to be at peace with people in relationships, not stirring the waters too much, go along to get along. And so that's a very comfortable place for me. It always has been. However, I have been growing in my time with the Lord and in my years as a Christian, growing in spiritual formation and Christian character. And one of those things has been to speak out, speak up, speak at all, share my voice when I think something, when I value something, when I feel like the Holy Spirit is nudging me towards something. And this podcast, this live is exactly that moment. And so it kind of doesn't matter how many people watch and listen. That is up to you. That's up to the Lord. But I have lived long enough and walked with God long enough to know that if you put something on my heart that feels, that gets my heart racing, feels like it's a timely word, I would be disobedient. I would regret not doing the thing that I sense Him calling me to do. And today that is going live and also then posting this on my podcast to stand and anchor myself in a place in culture. I have a voice, right? I don't know to what degree that God has expanded this voice, but I am privileged enough. I am thankful and grateful that my job is to speak, is to write, is to share thoughts. And so that's what I'm doing right now. And I'm titling this episode, Speaking the Truth in Love and Learning to Hear It Too. Speaking the truth in love and learning to hear it too. And I will get to charitable orthodoxy in a moment. But it is not lost on any of us that we're in a sharp moment in time, culturally speaking, where Christians are all over the map in a lot of places when it comes to what we believe and how we are interacting with the world. There are a lot of sharp disagreements, and social media, Exhibit A, has really exacerbated a lot of those things, and online debates are at an all-time high. We can just hop on, repost something, say whatever we want. And personally, I feel very conflicted about how to interact on social media, and maybe some of you do too. I sometimes get confused because I hear one side of an argument. I'm like, okay, I understand that. I hear the other side of the argument. Okay, I understand that. Okay. Enneagram 9, anybody tracking with me? And then sometimes I'm just tempted to withdraw because, again, that's my comfort zone, is to just withdraw. Again, talk to my friends and family. Listen, you should always talk to the people around you. Process with your friends and family. Process with the Lord. This should be baseline human living. But we also live in a time when technology is available for us to go on and share what we're thinking. And I'm hoping and praying that we are doing the inner work and we are thinking through things at a deep level in order to then what we share, we actually mean. We actually have thought about it. Doesn't mean we're right at any in any way, shape, or form. It just means we feel like we have something to say. So I can tell that I've probably already bored some of you to death, but let me get started here. So when I started with Denver Seminary, one of the things that they're having us read first is what to expect in seminary, what to expect when you're expecting, right? Theological education as spiritual reform. So let me stop right there. I'm going to undergo theological education, not so that I can add on to what I already know, because I already know it all and I just need to know more. This book is actually telling me I will be spiritually reformed through this work. And there are a couple of things that I think are very interesting for the purposes of this conversation and the purposes of my life. One of the titles of the chapters is called Wrestling with Holy Things, Reframing Theological Education. And the paragraph says this: while you are in seminary, you will be confronted with challenges on every level. You will be asked to consider life's biggest questions and be challenged to become a leader who will assist others to wrestle with those questions themselves. So let me stop right there. I feel like this is a moment when I'm feeling challenged to be a leader, to facilitate a moment in time, an opportunity for you to wrestle with your own thoughts, either privately or through the purposes of comments back and forth. But I want to assist you to wrestle with the questions for yourself, because I'm also wrestling with those things. You will be pressed to renegotiate the substance of your own faith commitments based on the insights of the same academy that may at times seem to be your faith's adversary. So in plain terms, it's saying to me that I will feel the pinch. I will feel pressed to reevaluate, renegotiate some of the things, some of the biases, some of the preconceived notions that I'm coming in with that either I am aware of or maybe I am not aware of. And so this 3-year journey is going to push me in that space. This is something that I think is also interesting. It says, it is the most natural thing in the world to assume that the way I see things is the way they really are, and also the way they ought to be seen by everyone else. Such a view lends itself nicely to a sort of gentle narcissistic arrogance. So this is on page 35 of this book that I just referenced. Let me repeat that. It is the most natural thing in the world for me and for you to assume that the way I see things, for you to assume that the way you see things is the way that things really are. I could stop this entire podcast right now. We also think that that's the way that they ought to be seen by everybody else. Is this resonating with anybody who's listening out there? When you go on social media, when you go on the news and you hear some things and you're like, hey, the way I see it is the way you should see it. So it should resonate with you. But such a view lends itself nicely to a sort of gentle narcissistic arrogance. I don't know about you, but when I hear that phrase, narcissistic arrogance, it makes me cringe. It makes me want to run the other direction. I don't want to be a Christian who's known for my narcissistic arrogance. And so, to my point about charitable orthodoxy, charitable orthodoxy is something that Denver Seminary holds in highest esteem. Now, the word orthodoxy means belief. So orthodox means something that you believe, and charitable obviously means grace, right? So orthodoxy means right belief, and charity means grace-filled love. So we have a right belief and we have grace-filled love. In fact, as I'm doing this, I see myself making the form of a cross as I'm kind of going up and down over my head and side to side over my chest. And I think that that's what Jesus brings us, is this idea of charitable orthodoxy. So I went to Denver Seminary's website and I actually copied their statement of faith around this posture. And it says, we at Denver Seminary are people of the faith committed to the core confessions that have defined Christianity for centuries. We cling to these great core truths of the faith, for they frame our understanding of God, the world in which we live, and his work in it. Furthermore, we confess these great truths as a way forward for those trapped in the mire of indifference and relativism. Around that common confession and our agreement with the doctrinal statement of the seminary, we engage in gracious and serious conversations. Okay, let me read this slowly so you can really catch the meat of this charitable orthodoxy. We engage in gracious and serious conversations about many different areas of faith and life. There is a moment for you and me to engage, for you and I, there we go, you're welcome, mother, to engage in conversations about faith and life that leave room for nuance, that leave room for love and respect and hearing each other's opinions and not tripping into gentle narcissism. Denver Seminary goes on to say, at times we may disagree about the interpretation of a particular passage, about theological issues of secondary importance, about the expression of Christian ethics in public life, and about the application of scripture to ministry. I'm actually getting a little emotional as I read this because I didn't realize how much this was going to hit me emotionally and personally as I am reading this. Let me read this again. At times, we may disagree about the interpretation of particular passages, about theological issues of secondary importance, about the expression of Christian ethics in public life, and about the application of scripture to ministry. At all times, however, we will be known as a community that relates to one another charitably, with a penchant to listen before speaking and a desire to learn that trumps the instinct to defend and to tell. This feels like a real personal and corporate manifesto for me. As I read it, I think, yes, this is who I want to be. This is who I want to be in relationship with. This is how I believe the church is supposed to be, that we would be known as a community that relates to one another with grace, that we will listen before we speak, and we will desire to learn from each other over this need to protect ourselves, to defend ourselves, to tell everybody else how we think and how they ought to think. The freedom and courage to think is only half of the equation for a vibrant learning community. Freedom and courage to listen completes it. So, yes, we can learn, and we must exhibit the freedom and the courage to listen, not speak, listen to what other people are saying, truly. It says, our conversation with those with whom we disagree, particularly outside the community of faith, must be marked by charity and respect. The Apostle Paul described the manner we desire to relate to all people with these words, speaking the truth in love. Back to the top of what I was calling this podcast, speaking the truth in love and learning to hear it too. I feel like so often we as Christians, I get caught up in this, I'm going to speak the truth in love. Of course in love, but I must speak the truth. And I think the invitation that God is bringing to me today, and perhaps you too, is okay, you may feel compelled to speak the truth in love, of course, but are you ready to hear it too? So until I've sat in the place where I want to ask the Lord, speak to me with truth and love. I want to hear it before I give it so that I can be formed, molded before I'm ever ready to say something to someone else. It's funny because I feel like this story will maybe encapsulate this for you about what we say and what we hear. So when one of my daughters, Bryn, was young, she had a propensity to throw temper tantrums. So maybe some of you understand what it's like to have a toddler who throws temper tantrums. And I remember one day in particular, she came marching down to the kitchen. She's upstairs with her dad, with my husband, and she comes marching down the stairs with all of her weight and yelling at the top of her lungs, "Mom, Daddy says I'm ugly," and she bursts into tears. And all of a sudden I hear my husband say, no, I did not say that she was ugly. I said she was acting ugly. Very different. He said, "Hey, little one, pull it together. You are acting ugly. This is not you. You should not act like this." And she heard, "You are ugly, not you are acting ugly." Are you following me? And I think that's what a lot is happening in this world when we're talking to people and we're just posting things on social media. People are hearing something that we don't mean to say. So I feel like people don't always hear what we meant to say. They only hear it through their own lens, like my daughter did. And we misinterpret each other constantly, but we rarely misinterpret ourselves. Is this resonating with anybody? I might misinterpret you from what you want to say to me. I don't hear it in the way that you mean it. How many of you understand or can feel this moment? How many times have you said, no, that's not what I meant? So you say something, the other person reacts quickly. So first of all, if any of you have raised teenagers or are currently raising teenagers, this is like all day, every day, right? You say something and your teenager says something like, stop yelling at me. Why do you always do this? And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not yelling. I'm just, you know, quietly course correcting. And that they hear yelling. And so they misinterpret what we're saying, but we rarely misinterpret ourselves. And so if I'm in a posture where what I say is just not even allowed to be misinterpreted, then we're in a world of hurt because we really won't get anywhere. If I can't hear you and listen to what you are saying, that you've heard, what you've experienced from me. And even as I'm trying to explain this to you, I feel like I'm getting kind of tangled up trying to explain it because it takes a lot of work. It is not an easy button. I feel like sometimes, especially social media, and this will be, you know, apropos to me going live on Facebook and Instagram right here, is that social media sometimes can be the easy button where we experience something, we see something, and we just repost it immediately. I've done that a lot of times. I did it today without kind of going to do the deeper work to think, what is my point of view? How would I really explain this? What am I actually thinking? And I feel like this is so important today because we live in this polarized, harsh church environment. And right now I really am speaking to the Christians out there, to my brothers and sisters in Christ, and those of you that want to offer a compelling alternative witness. We don't want to add to the harshness and the polarization. We want to add to charitable orthodoxy, to speaking truth, but also knowing that we could be wrong, that we want to listen to the other person, not about the tenets of the faith. I'm not talking about Christ crucified and resurrected. I'm talking about secondary essentials and interpretations of certain passages of scripture and secondary theological issues. We are quick to judge other people's words, so quick to judge other people's words. But we are slow to examine our own tone, and we are so slow to examine our own assumptions. And I am really feeling challenged and convicted that this is what I will be doing on my seminary journey. As I read to you earlier, it's going to press me. I feel like I'm an olive on an olive tree, and in order to get the olive oil out, I'm going to need to be pressed on all sides to really get the deep thing that God wants to extract from me in this journey. And I want to ask you guys, I just want to put a challenge out there. What if we practice slowing down long enough to ask clarifying questions? Tell me more. What do you mean? I don't understand. Help me understand. These are things that we can actually stop and ask. And we listen long enough to really hear the heart behind someone's words. As a life coach, I mean, part of my job is to dig deep and ask people, what are you thinking about? What are you dreaming about? Why do you want that? And if I take most people's answers, including my own, at first pass, it may or may not be like the real answer. My job is to go seven layers deep. The best kind of coaches are going to say, okay, and why does that matter? And why does that matter? And why does that matter? What if in our conversations with each other, we begin to ask the question, tell me more, why does that matter to you? And we excavate this and we show this grace and this truth and this love. Feel like there's a tension that we live in right now, and there's two pitfalls. So when I pair the words grace and love, truth and love, not grace and love, although grace and love is great, but truth and love or truth and grace, okay? Love and grace, truth. Truth without love is harsh and it's arrogant and it's divisive. So sure, we can go on social media, we can march around and we can share all kinds of truth. But if it does not have love, we know what Paul says. It's like a clanging gong. It's like a cacophonous noise in someone else's head. It does not compute. It does not satisfy. It does not bring love. It does not bring any change. And love, on the opposite side of the coin, without truth, is relativism. And it is fear of offending somebody. And I know that for me personally, I would much my flesh, I would much rather fall into the camp of love without truth. I just don't want to offend you. I love you. Hey, if you want to know the truth, come ask me. But I feel like my inner work is to share the truth of Christ, share the truth that I know and that I've experienced, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to true life. But what if I offend you? Then you don't like me. These are the things that I wrestle with. I know. You can roll your eyes. I'm old enough to maybe not have to wrestle with this, but there we have it. On the opposite side of the coin, some of you may want to just shout the truth and say, listen, hey, shake the people. Why don't you believe what I believe? Why don't you see it the way I see it? And yet you are coming off as harsh and arrogant and divisive because they don't sense your love. They don't sense that you actually care about them enough to even listen. I've been involved with the Young Life ministry for decades, and many of you who know Young Life are very familiar with Jim Rayburn, the founder's phrase, we need to earn the right to be heard. So, what does that mean when you're talking to a teenager? Teenagers, they could not care less a lot of times about adults' opinions, what adults have to say. And so Young Life leaders come alongside kids and say, hey, I love you. I will do life with you, messy, messed up, whatever you're up to. I will walk with you in love. Why? Because God loves you, and I want to share the love of Jesus with you. And when you are ready to hear it, because you understand that it's coming from a place of love, then I will have earned the right to be heard by you. Are we doing that as Christians? It's so easy to filter other people's words, and we just don't often filter our own words because we know what we mean. We know what we think is true. And yet, are we open and willing enough to be curious, to be students, to trust that the spirit can be at work between us, and it's not my job to get you to think a certain thing. It's not my job to get you to believe a certain thing. God is the one who comes in, and it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's work to connect us in this way. So I want to ask you today, what assumptions do you carry into a hard conversation? And how do those assumptions color the way you hear another person? So maybe something that we can do right now is to when we encounter hard conversations, or even when you see something online, just say, okay, what assumptions of mine are coloring the way I see this? Am I coming into this? Am I looking at this, receiving this with a bias, with preconceived notions, with already how I know and think about this? And chances are it's yes. We all come into conversations with our preconceived notions and our biases. This is to be human. So it is not wrong to have a bias. It is not wrong to have a preconceived notion. You have it. I have it because we're human and we grew up in the culture that we grew up in and we have the perspective that we have. The work that I believe that I want to do and I'm challenging you to is to go, okay, what is my preconceived bias? What is my preconceived notion? How can I suspend that for a minute and actually listen, kind of check that at the door and see what somebody else is actually thinking so that we can be known as kingdom people. They will know we are Christians by our love. It's like the oldest, little Maranatha hymnal songbook song, right? But the reason that it preaches is because it's true. So I want to offer a few things that you and I can do in the effort to practice charitable orthodoxy. So number one would be listen before speaking. Listen before you speak. So what does that look like? That means turning on a video and listening to the whole thing. Talking to your neighbor and listening to their whole story. Sitting down at your dinner table and listening to whoever's sitting there before you say anything. And I'm feeling so convicted over this because listen, okay, back to the teenager analogy. Listen, I got a lot of these stories and it'll preach. When I sit down at the table, especially with one of my children, she starts to talk. I have been known to shut her down preemptively, not on purpose, because I react. I ask a question. Oh, wait, what do you mean? Wait, what's the tea? What's the drama? And she'll say, "Oh my gosh, mom, I was just forget it." She'll literally say, "Forget it." And the number of times that I just hang my head because I'm like, Megan, you know better than this. You know better than to like jump in and stop the conversation because I've learned that when she starts speaking and telling a story, my number one goal, my number one job is actually to not say anything. And that is so counterintuitive for a mom, let me tell you, because moms like to ask questions. Moms like to know more. We like to get into the details. My perspective is that I'm getting to know her and that this is going to connect us. And her perspective is, no, this is actually really annoying. We're not going to be connected. And because you spoke a word, I will now speak no more words. You see what I'm saying? So I feel like we can listen before we speak in order to get anywhere and begin connection with anybody else. Secondarily, what else can we do to practice charitable orthodoxy? We can assume the best of others before we assume heresy. Whoo, I feel like it just got hot in here. I felt like I'm starting to sweat. Let me repeat that. We assume the best of others before we assume heresy. I don't even know what to do with that one. I feel like I just picked up a flaming hot pole because it's so natural, especially in the world of social media, for us to skip hear these sound bites and we think, oh, that person doesn't know what they're talking about. That person's not a true Christian. That if you were a true Christian X, if you were a true Christian Y. So assume the best before we assume heresy. And if we're assuming heresy, then go do your homework. Go figure out if you really care that much about what that person is saying. Then do your homework as to the full picture of that person, not a soundbite, and then go from there. Number three would be hold open hands to non-essentials. Release your firm grip, have a firm grip on the essentials of the Christian faith. I'm talking specifically about our Christian faith right now. There are essentials. So I hope you know what you believe. If you're going to a church, go read their statement of faith. If you're following anybody, including myself, go read my statement of faith on my website because the essentials are important. But in order to create a world that is more loving and more open to hearing the truth of Jesus, we must open our hands about the non-essentials. So do your work on that. Number four, pray before posting or responding. Yep, I said it. Pray before you post. Pray before you respond. Even if it's just a quick breath prayer, if you're in person with somebody, just say, Holy Spirit, is this a yes or is this a no? Listen to the promptings. God is with us. Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He will give you the way. He will nudge your path, whether you are to say something or not say something. I don't know the answer for you. Sometimes I have a hard time knowing the answer for me. Like I said at the top of this episode, is that my default is to not say anything that would cause dissension or ruffle any feathers. And yet sometimes it's important to speak the truth. And I hope that you hear that it's coming from a place of love. And then lastly, you can journal. You don't even need to like mix it up with anybody else. You can grab your notebook and a pen and ask God to reveal to you your posture. Ask him if how you're operating and how you're living in this world is aligned with his heart before you enter into theological conversations in person, online, or anywhere. So here's a few questions that you can ask to display charitable orthodoxy to get into this listening posture. You can say, paraphrase. This is like counseling 101, right? So what I hear you saying is, and then repeat back to them what you hear them saying. And if they say, yes, exactly, you got it, then you can have an open dialogue. You're moving back and forth. And if you have an alternate opinion, if you have an alternate thought, you can say, okay, well, here's what I'm saying. And this is how we engage in civil discourse and dialogue. And if they say, no, that's not what I'm saying at all, then say, okay, tell me more. I guess I'm not understanding. Will you help me understand? You can say, is that what you meant? And then you can offer your response. My kids, I'm telling you what, they are just like the best teachers in the whole world. Because even as I'm saying that, I have another kiddo that if I try to say, tell me more about what you're thinking, it's like, no, I don't really feel like doing all that work to help you understand. So I'm out. So I know that this is getting long, but I just am so passionate about this. And I want to finish with one more thing. Maybe this matrix will help you understand how to navigate grace and truth, speaking the truth in love and hearing the truth in love back to yourself. I follow an organization called Gravity Leadership. One of my very good friends, Reverend Dr. Christy Penley, is a friend and a pastor here in town, and she is on the Gravity Leadership podcast, and they have a grace and truth matrix. So imagine kind of a little quadrant where there's an arrow going up and an arrow going down and arrows going side to side. So you've got a quadrant, right? And there are four different quadrants: hang out, check out, call out, and check in. I really love this matrix because I feel like it puts language and imagery around what this whole idea of grace and truth really is. How do we engage in charitable orthodoxy? What is it not? And what is it? So there are three things it's not and one thing that it is. So it is not hang out. It is not check out. It is not call out. Okay, hang out. What is hang out? High grace and low truth. Real cozy, but shallow. So when you're just hanging out with somebody, you're like, you know what? We're cozy, real shallow. We don't need to get too deep. We don't need to talk about anything that's really true. So you feel accepted. But growth stalls. When you only ever just hang out with people that you want to be in deep relationship with, especially Christian brothers and sisters, if it's just hangout, it's cozy, but it's shallow. And then, you know, we avoid saying the hard thing just to keep the peace. Don't want to rock the boat. Don't want to ruffle any feathers around here. So we're just going to hang out. That's one option. High grace, low truth. Another option, check out. So what is checking out? Withdrawing. Low grace, low truth. People feel ignored and dismissed when you check out, right? So silence or indifference or disengagement when love or clarity is needed. Hanging out is cozy and shallow. Checking out is withholding. It's just turning your back and walking away and being like, you know what? I'm out. I don't need to have this conversation anymore. I'm checking out. That's another option that does not promote charitable orthodoxy and truth and love. The third option, call out. Okay. We know what call out is, right? Harsh and judgmental. If you say, hey, I'm calling you out right now, what are you in essence saying? You're saying, I'm calling you out, and it's low grace. There's no grace and very high truth. So people might feel corrected and called out, but they do not feel cared for. They don't feel like you are caring for their heart. So this space specifically, social media space, is full of call out. So truth bombs, we pull the grenade that wound instead of heal. So what are the three things that are not the way of Jesus, that are not the grace and truth way? Hang out, check out, and call out. So what are we to do? What is the way of Jesus? And on the grace and truth matrix, it is to call in. It is high grace and high truth. And when you walk in high grace and high truth, that is beginning to walk in the way of Jesus. People feel loved and they feel honestly challenged. Like you actually care about their health and well-being, and there might be some actual transformation. I feel like Jesus with the woman at the well is a perfect example of calling in. He names her reality of the lifestyle and the life that she's living that has kind of ostracized her, maybe through no fault of her own, but ostracized her from the community. This is the reality. It's maybe shameful. She's there in the middle of the day grabbing water when nobody else is there because she's not really accepted and allowed to be around everybody else. And yet he offers her dignity. He reveals himself as the Christ, as the one who loves her and accepts her no matter what, as the one who can bring spirit and truth into her life and change her life. He's calling her in. He's calling her higher in grace and truth. So I would be curious, you can do maybe some inner work in some of the relationships that you have. Something you can do is take this grace and truth matrix and maybe examine some of your real life relationships. Do you feel like there are some relationships in your life where you're like, ooh, I'm kind of checked out of that one, kind of just hanging out with that person. And you know what? That person, I'm just calling them out. They probably don't think I love them at all. And then say, what would it look like? God, give me a vision. What would it look like to call in, to walk in grace and truth and put in the effort with this person because I love them and I want to show them your love. Listen, Jesus is the only one who embodied full grace and full truth. So let's just be clear about that all the time. He's the only perfect human that ever walked this earth. So check that perfection at the door. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, invites us to keep moving toward that quadrant. We don't want to check out. We don't want to hang out. We don't want to call out. We want to call in. So I just thank you for listening. I pray that charitable orthodoxy will be what we are about, will be what's on our lips, and it's not a weakness. Being charitable is not a weakness. It's actually a kingdom strength. I want to be a people that embody conviction and compassion in our families, in our churches, in our places of work. And listen, I'm still learning. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I'm 52 and I'm starting seminary and I'm reading this book that's basically like, hey girl, everything you thought you knew, you check that at the door because we're going to spiritually form you. We're going to mature your Christian character. I'm going to be having a mentor that's going to walk alongside me and probably squeeze that olive to find all of the rich oil that's inside. I'm excited. And I also know that there will probably be some moments that are painful because anytime we have people calling us in, calling us higher, it is not easy. There is the initial sting. And if you can get past the initial sting and realize that they love you and they want to form you into a higher character, into somebody who embodies more Christ-likeness on this earth, then the process of refinement and pressing is worth it. So ask yourself, where do you need to grow in truth and where do you need to grow in love? Let's be kind people who don't just defend the truth, but actually dignify the person across from us by listening well. So you now have official invitation to call me in, call me higher. If you know me and you love me, then I am inviting you to speak to me with grace and truth. And hopefully we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not give up meeting together as some have done, but continue to encourage each other in the Spirit, by the Spirit, so that Christ will be glorified on this earth. Because honestly, he's the way. He's the only way. He is the beauty in the brokenness. So I'm going to be working on a really cool email campaign. Once this comes out on my podcast, it's going to be the Grace and Truth Devotional. I'm working on 30 days of devotions that you can do around this subject. So if that's something that interests you, then just hit me up, go on my website, sign up for my email list, pay attention to me on social media, whatever. I'll be telling you guys about that. And let me just close this up in prayer. Then we can be off. Lord Jesus, thank you for you. for your spirit. None of this would even be possible without the grace and the love and the modeling of Jesus Christ. And so I pray that we as a people, as kingdom people, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would not be known for our division, for intolerance, for hate, for divisiveness, but we would be known for our truth and our love that brings people to you, that kindness leads us all to repentance. Repentance means turning from our own way and surrendering to you, Lord. So I pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Thanks for hanging out with me and for calling me higher. I pray that you feel inspired and challenged and encouraged to go do the work, because we need each other. We can't be walking away. We can't be causing division, but we are called to do the work of the Christ-like people and encourage one another. So I love you guys. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'll catch you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode. You might be wondering, well, now what? Let me offer a few suggestions. Number one, who were you thinking about while you were listening to this episode? If someone crossed your mind because you think this would inspire, challenge, or encourage them, share it right now. Number two, if you think it's worth other people's time to find and listen to this show, please head to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, rate us and leave a review. It will help people around the world know if it's worth their time to come hang out with us. And number three, if you are ready to get aligned with the voice of God, anchored in your identity in Christ, and activated in your next bold step of faith, head to my website, meganbnilsen.com. You can read about my books, see any courses I'm offering, and most importantly, schedule your free 30-minute curiosity and connection call today. Let's keep this conversation going. Hey friend, in a world that often shouts extremes, grace without truth or truth without grace, followers of Jesus like you and I are called to something better. And that is exactly what charitable orthodoxy is all about. Holding fast to the core truths of our faith, while extending generous grace to those around us. But here's the challenge. It doesn't come naturally, at least it doesn't for me. So we need to train our hearts and our minds to live in that tension. That's why I created the Grace and Truth Devotional. This is a 30-day journey that helps you open scripture, see how Jesus embodied both, and then apply it to your actual real life. Imagine what could happen if the people of God consistently spoke with grace, stood firm in the truth, and reflected Jesus in our everyday conversations. That is kingdom impact. That's the witness I believe that the world is longing to see. So if you are ready to grow in this idea of charitable orthodoxy, not just an idea, but as a daily practice, head over to graceandtruthdevotional.com and get started today.